Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. Let's keep praying for them during the week, not just at church. Let's lift up our brothers and sisters all over this land. Amen. God is good. Turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter number one. While you're turning to Colossians chapter number one, I want to tell you a little story about a guy. He was born in the sticks out there in the country and, you know, really never got off his farm his entire life. In fact, he got married on the farm, had children, and just that's all he knew. The most advanced technology he ever saw was his tractor. That was about it. He had a telephone in his house, and he had a radio in his house, and that was what he did for fun. He would listen to the radio programs at night on the Country Western Music Channel. And so through a process of time one night, they had a radio show, kind of a competition. Whoever could be the 100th caller would get an all-expenses-paid trip to New York City. And so he thought, oh, that'd be fun to get off the farm and go see something. And so he called in, and wouldn't you know it, he was the 100th caller, and he got the all-expenses-paid trip for him and his whole family to go to the big city, go see New York. And so they had this tour, and they were going around. He was amazed at Times Square and all the big screens and all the people and the cars and the buildings and everything that was going on. He was just jaw-dropping, walking around with his mouth hanging down. And they said, well, you got to go see the Empire State Building. And so they take him in, and he walks into the foyer of the Empire State Building, and he's just in awe of the beautiful structures and all the walls and the marble and the granite and the inlays and everything. And he noticed something odd. There was a little old lady walking with a cane, and she walked into an elevator, an open door, turned around and pushed a button. The doors closed. After a couple moments, the doors opened back up, and a beautiful young woman came walking out. And he sat there scratching his chin for a second, and all of a sudden he got an idea, and he said, hey, Billy, go get your mama. Today I want to talk to you about something that brought a transformation in my life. You see what I did there? Brought a transformation in my life that made a huge difference. And I believe that today it's going to make a huge difference in your life. I want to talk to you today about Holy Spirit fullness. Colossians, the first chapter, we just finished talking about who Jesus is, that Jesus is God. And I want to look at Colossians chapter 1, verse number 19. It says, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. In Jesus Christ, the fullness of the Father, the fullness of who he is as the Son, and the fullness of the Holy Spirit dwell in and through and around Jesus. It pleased God that that should happen in the life of Jesus. But today, I want to tell you that that's not only for Jesus, that's for all of the body of Christ, because we are the body of Christ, and God wants his pleasure done on the earth. God wants us to receive the fullness of who he is in and through our lives. In fact, in the book of Ephesians, the next book over, chapter number 5, verse number 18, it says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. We are commanded by God. God is saying, I don't want you to be filled up with the things in this world which can lead you astray. I want you to be filled up with the fullness of the Holy Spirit who is given on the earth to the church today. Jesus said, it's good for me to go to the Father, disciples, because why? Because I will send you my Spirit. And now that Spirit has come, and every person who's a believer in Jesus Christ receives that Spirit. But the commandment is to be being filled, that we are to continually be refreshed and to continually be filled up. When Jesus came after he raised from the dead, the Bible says that he was resurrected on a Sunday morning. Early in the morning, he came and he showed up and he started to speak to the disciples, started to show himself to them. He appeared to Peter, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 people all at the same time, showing them proofs over 40 days of his resurrection. In that time, in John, the 20th chapter, you'll find Jesus shows up in the midst of a closed door meeting in the room with all of the disciples. And he says, peace be unto you. You know why I say that? Because some of them would have messed their pants if they wouldn't have heard that. Peace be unto you, right? They'd, whoa, don't run up on me, bro. You know? Because he just showed up in the middle of a locked room. And so he shows up and he says this. He breathes on them, the Bible says, and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe that that was the moment that they were born again. And here's the reason why I believe that. Because it's very interesting that Jesus breathed on them, receive the Holy Spirit. In Genesis, when you find God forming man, the Bible says that after he formed the man, he breathed the breath of God, the ruach, it says in Hebrew. It is the breath of God, the Spirit of God. Man became a living being when God breathed on him. But God gave man a commandment and said, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil, because the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, we know that Adam and Eve ate, and they did not fall over dead right there physically. So that must have been spiritually something that took place in their life. And now Jesus, when he resurrects, when he comes to them, when these disciples are born again spiritually, he breathes on them just like God breathed on Adam and Eve. And says, receive the Holy Spirit. At that moment, they are raised again to life with Jesus Christ spiritually, internally. But then something interesting takes place in the Gospel of Luke. In the Gospel of Luke, you find Jesus saying, I want you to wait. I want you to tarry. I want you to hang out in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And so they wait. And maybe you know the story of the day of Pentecost. Here the disciples are. They're all gathered together in the upper room. And as they're praying on the day of Pentecost, not a breath, but a mighty rushing wind comes into the room. Tongues of fire divided upon each and every one of them. It rests on each and every one of them, and they receive Holy Spirit fullness. Now they are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they run out of that place, and they start to prophesy. They start to speak in languages that they never knew, that they don't even understand. I mean, these are unlearned, untrained men, fishermen, people from Galilee and Nazareth, different areas surrounding. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And yet here they are, and Peter stands up, and he prophesies and preaches the first message, and thousands get saved. Wow. It's an amazing thing that took place, all because they were baptized full of the Holy Spirit. It was a separate experience that happened to them. They were saved. They had already received the Holy Spirit when Jesus breathed on them, but now all of a sudden that mighty rushing wind came in and they received Holy Spirit fullness. Anybody go to see the air show yesterday, or maybe you're going to see it this afternoon, the F-14 Tomcat flying over? It's amazing to watch as that Tomcat goes flying by, and then you hear the sound of it behind it because they're breaking the sound barrier. Just awesome, rumbling. Can you imagine when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church? Can you imagine being in the upper room and hear not an F-14 Tomcat, but God himself rips through the atmosphere and comes into the room, and the fire of God falls down on their lives. And here they start to prophesy. They start to speak in tongues, and they go out and they witness, and thousands get saved. God wants you to be endued with power. He wants you to receive Holy Spirit fullness. And your salvation, you receive the Holy Spirit inside of you. But there's a separate experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the submersion, being endued with the power of God that can make a transformation and such a difference in your life. God doesn't want you to just get saved and then someday in the sweet by and by you'll get a new body in heaven and then you'll have the power. No, God wants you to have power here and now. God wants you to have the Holy Spirit here on the earth in supernatural ways. We also see this in the book of Acts, the 9th chapter. After persecution breaks out, people scatter all over the place. And there was a young man by the name of Philip. Philip was a table waiter. So if you're ever wondering, can God do something with a little guy from the IE that waits on tables? Of course, because he used Philip. Philip, as he was scattered, as he was running from the persecution, as he was going away, he went to Samaria, the Bible says. Samaria was a bunch of half-breeds. They were hated by the Jews because they had intermingled with the nations around them. And he goes there and he preaches Christ. Such a simple message. Jesus died. He's raised again to life for your sin. They repent. Miracles, signs, wonders. Devils are being cast out. There's healings taking place. All sorts of stuff's going on. People are getting baptized in water. They're following the example of Jesus. And what happens? The apostles, Peter, James, John, they hear about this and they go to Samaria. And the Bible says that they laid hands on them and prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit. And they started to get baptized and receive that power of the Holy Spirit. Now, this power was so great that there was a man by the name of Simon that went and he had received Jesus as his Lord. He had prayed and repented and was baptized and became one of the number of the disciples. But then all of a sudden, he saw this going on with Peter and James, and he's going, wow. Now, he used to be a sorcerer, remember, so he had seen demonic power at work. But now he sees the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it's so tangible, so powerful, that he is amazed and in awe, and he asks Peter, can I buy this gift that when I lay my hands on people, that they receive the Holy Spirit just like you had? Now, that shows me two things. Number one, it shows me that salvation and baptism of the Holy Spirit are two separate experiences. They can happen simultaneously. But here we see two separate experiences because the disciples laid their hands on these people and prayed for them, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in a tangible, visible way. The second thing that shows me is that the power of God is so much greater than the power of the enemy when a sorcerer is asking to buy the gift. Now, Peter said, your money die with you, and you better repent, lest perhaps the Lord will allow you to be forgiven of this sin because you're full of bitterness, right? He needed some breaking free there, Pastor Joel. And so anyways, that's beside the point for today. The point is that God's power is so great. Tangibly, visibly, you can see it on people when they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes, I've heard people report that it felt like electricity flowing through them, that it felt like heat or hot oil being poured over their body. Many times, you'll see people shake. Many times, people will start to have expressions, prophecy, or the gift of tongues, where they start to speak in a language that they didn't even know. You can see things visibly that take place, that something is changing. There's a transformation taking place in their life. And that's why it's so important for us. So what happens when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit? What happens when we receive Holy Spirit fullness? First thing is this, is that as we are receiving His fullness, that we receive power. We receive power. John chapter 1, verse number 16, and of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. When you receive the fullness of God, you receive grace for grace. Why repeat it twice? Anytime you see in the Bible things are repeated twice, they're bringing out an emphasis that it's growing in strength, that there is a grace that comes on us for salvation. It's the strength of God to save our souls and to snatch us out of hell and to send us to heaven. That is grace. But there's another grace. There's another strength that we receive when we're baptized with the Holy Spirit. There is a power of God available on our behalf, and it's a greater power for life. Now, we define grace here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center as God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when I can't do it. In fact, I've got that up on the overheads, and we'll make it collective for us. So I want you guys to say this with me, okay? Ready? Grace, God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when we can't do it, right? Let's say it again. Grace, God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on our behalf when we can't do it. You can't do it. You can't live in the power that God wants you to live. You cannot overcome or be delivered. You cannot have the victories that you need to have in life. You cannot work a miracle. You cannot save a soul. You need the grace of God on your behalf when you can't do it. You need the strength and the power of God. Pastor Deborah, whom you heard earlier, she defines grace as God's power in me to do what His truth demands of me. I found that by the power of the Holy Spirit, I have greater victory over the flesh, over sin, over the devil, that I am delivered by the power, the grace of God on my behalf. All because why? Because I'm being filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That word power is in the Greek, the word dunamis. It's where we get our modern day English word dynamite. See, the Holy Spirit's power is an explosive power-packed type of destructive, life-changing power on our behalf when we can't do it. What else happens? We receive gifts. When you are endued, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, when you receive the Holy Spirit fullness, He imparts to you gifts. I want to show this to you in your Bible. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. In fact, you'll find in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, 13, and 14 that it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. Talks about how everything should be done decently and in order in the church. That's why when you saw today a prophetic word that was given from God, you saw tongues and you saw the interpretation of tongues right in front of you today. You saw an expression. It was all done decently and in order. Pastor Deborah knew that myself being the senior pastor was the authority and asked permission to give what God had given her. She didn't just run up on the stage and start to prophesy. She knew submission. She knows God and she knows the authority structure. That's why at this church, sometimes people say, well, you don't got the Holy Ghost. Nobody stood up and shouted in tongues while you were preaching. Well, listen, do you think God would interrupt Himself? Currently, I've gotten the word of the Lord, so I'm speaking forth the oracles of God right now, what God gave to me to give to you. That's called prophesying, by the way. And the Bible says that only two or three share in a meeting, and if somebody's prophesying and someone else gets a revelation that's come, let the first one be silent. Let him finish what he's saying, and then the other guy can talk. God will not interrupt Himself. And if somebody jumps up and starts speaking in tongues, I'm going to rebuke you. The ushers are going to tackle you and drag you out. Why? Because that is not the order of God. Everything in the church should be done decently and in order, and the gifts operate by love, the Bible says. That's why there's a beautiful Holy Ghost sandwich of the gifts, but right in the center, the meat of it is all about love. That should be our motivation. That should be the reason. That should be the power behind all of these gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, through verse number 11. But the manifestation, that word manifestation means the appearing of, the showing forth of, the illumination or the spotlight, the highlight of. Look at this. The Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. These gifts are not to be used to elevate a person, a minister, a man, a ministry. They are here to benefit everybody, saved and unsaved. They're given for the profit of all. Verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. See, as the Holy Spirit comes in your life and as you receive his fullness, you start to receive these gifts. What is a word of knowledge? That means maybe you're one of the greeters here at The Rock. And as someone's walking up, God just whispers in your ear, they're going through a hard time today. Encourage them. And as they walk up, you say, hey, you know what? Life may be tough, but God's good. You're going to make it. You're going to hear from God today. You just had a word of knowledge that now profited somebody who was walking into church. What is the word of wisdom? Maybe somebody is your friend and they're going through a struggle and they don't know what to do. And as you're praying for them, God says, I want you to tell them to do this way. And they'll get the results that they need. And you call them up and you say, hey, brother, I don't know if this witness is with you. Take it or leave it. But I believe God would have me to tell you that, you know, this situation that you're dealing with, do it this way and it'll work out. And they go, wow, I never would have thought about it that way. They go and they do it and it works out. You had a word of wisdom, something that will encourage them and give them the direction that they need from God. Verse number 9, to another faith, you can believe God supernaturally for things and receive them by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. I know people in our church that when they pray for people to get healed, they get healed. And it's not like, you know, they're doing anything different than I'm doing, but for some reason, the Spirit just chooses to manifest, to highlight, to show up, to illuminate through their life in that gift of healing. And when they pray, things happen. It's just amazing. Look at what it says, to another working of miracles, that you can believe God for the supernatural, that you can break bread and feed 5,000 people in a meeting, that you can walk on water, that you can speak to the wind and the waves and they'll stop, that you can declare, sun stands still, and the sun stands still. You can work miracles on the earth supernaturally. Wow, to another prophecy, we talked about that, to another discerning of spirits, that you know whether that's God or that's not God. That's really what the discerning of spirits is. Sometimes people say, well, don't you have to see demons? No, sometimes you'd know that's not from God. You get a discernment. You just know by the Spirit, no. Or somebody's wondering, what is that God? And you just know, no, I've got the peace. I can discern. I understand. That's of God. Sometimes people do see into the spirit realm, and you can see that in the Bible as well. And that is a gift that God gives. To another, different kinds of tongues. We've talked about that. And to another, interpretation of tongues like you saw today, where somebody gives a message in a language that they don't know, and then it is interpreted either by themselves or by someone else. Remember, everything should be done decently and in order. And these operations are through love. Why? Because we love God and we love people. And these gifts are given for the profit of all, not to elevate a man, but to elevate Jesus. And so that everyone can benefit and be encouraged by these gifts. Are you listening today? What else happens when we receive his fullness? We become a greater witness. We become a greater witness. I have often wondered why it took so long for Jesus to send the Holy Ghost to the church. The word Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, means 50. It was 50 days. It was on the 50th day after the Passover that the Holy Spirit was sent to the church. And I thought, why so long, God? That's like a month and a half, 7 weeks. I mean, that's a long time for the disciples to be sitting around twiddling their thumbs. And yet, when you really look and study it out, that's not what took place. Jesus was raised on which day? Third day, right? So everybody's got the number 3 in their thinking. Then the Bible says that after 40 days, he showed up, appeared to Peter. Then after that, the disciples, the 12. Then after that, to more than 500 people, right? 40 days. What's 40 plus 3? 43. I know this is hard today. I'm sorry. I'm making you think, okay? 43 days. 50 minus 43 is how many days left? 7. They were only really waiting around for a week. Jesus ascends, right? He said, I want you to wait in Jerusalem until I send the Holy Spirit. That was 1 week. They waited a week and God sent the Spirit and they went out and they became a greater witness than they had been before. Here, the timid, hiding disciples start to step out boldly in faith and believe God supernaturally, start to preach the word and thousands are getting saved. The church is birthed. Wow. Let's take a look at it in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8 again. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Notice the progression. He says, you'll be witnesses to me, greater witnesses. Where? Jerusalem, where you're at right now. Then Judea, the surrounding area. Then Samaria, where the half-breeds are, right? The hated. You're going to go after the lost sheep of Israel. They're just as much a part of this covenant because of Jacob's sake. They are included in this covenant. But guess what? Not only that, the Gentiles to the uttermost ends of the earth, distant islands and distant lands that never knew about Jesus, you're going to go to the four corners of the earth and all creation will hear the gospel. Why? Because you have the power of the Holy Spirit. And just to prove how great God was, he does it on the day of Pentecost, which was the day that they brought their first fruits of the harvest to the Lord. It was the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Ingathering. And here they were, and they were commanded to come to Jerusalem, and people from all over the world, Greece and from as far as modern day Iran, showed up and they heard the word of God in their own language. Don't you know they got saved? Don't you know they got filled? And don't you know they went home and they spread the word of God? Immediately, God had a global church. Wow. You'll become a greater witness by the power of the Holy Spirit. Many of you guys know Charles Finney, right? Famed evangelist. He wrote about how God would give him mighty infillings of the Holy Spirit. He said that they went through me as it seemed body and soul, and immediately I found myself endued with such power from on high that a few words dropped here and there to individuals were the means of their immediate conversion. My words seemed to fasten like barbed arrows in the souls of men. They cut like a sword. They broke the heart like a hammer. But then he went on to say that when he wasn't being filled, when he wasn't flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that his words didn't seem to ever attach, ever to have any power. And so he would go and he would pray and he'd take a fresh drink and he'd get filled back up with the Holy Spirit and he'd go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit and he would start to see results again like he needed. See, that word endued really means to put on, to sink into a garment. Just like this morning, I put on this coat. When I put on this coat this morning, it came over me. I sank into it. I put it on, and now all of a sudden, it warms me, it covers me, and it makes me look good. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. And did you know that when you get the power of the Holy Ghost, he covers you, he surrounds you, he warms you, and he makes you look darn good. You become a greater witness to a lost and dying world. Somebody say amen. I love it. I love it. Which brings us to the last one today, is that we are filled with love. When you are endued with the power of God, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. Christ is God in the flesh. God is love. John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4 tells us, verse number 8. God is love. So when you receive the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, you receive the Spirit of love. Oh my goodness, God loves you so much. You will receive that rush, that filling, that flowing of love all around. You'll be surrounded with it. But guess what? That love will move through you to the people that God loves. God loves his church, and God loves the lost. And God wants that love to flow in your life. John chapter 17, verse 26, I have declared to them your name, and I will declare it. Jesus is praying to the Father that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. God wants to fill you with his love, and he wants his love to flow in your life. Romans chapter 5, verse 5, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. How? By the Holy Spirit who was given to us. God wants to fill your life. God wants to empower you. God wants to endue you and wrap around you. God wants to give you gifts that can be to the profit of all. God wants you to be a greater witness. Where you've been praying, where you've been witnessing, hey, all of a sudden you start to get the results that you need to see, and God wants his supernatural love to flow throughout your life. Today, we're going to lay hands and we're going to pray for people who want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Or maybe today you just want a fresh drink. Today you want to get filled up again. Maybe you've gotten off of this and today you just want to come to the altars and lift your hands and just sink into the garment.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.